Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Fesco and Dusty.
I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
A show that, analytically, exists between 6 and 10 weekday mornings on Kansas City's only FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, buddy.
Live from the studios that brought you.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Here's Bob Fesco and Dusty Likens.
Bob, we had three texts come in on our latest topic, and I've got to read them to you.
All right.
Here on 96.5 The Fan. And of course, if you want to be part of the text line, 913-586-7965. We were deleting two teams, or no, we were doing the pain and suffering chart. After we deleted our two teams, we went through the pain and suffering chart of every team was listed, and they were either hell, pure agony, miserable fans, on and off, no suffering, or literally a utopia.
Right.
Three texts from three different numbers came in all at the same time. Packers should be a utopia.
Oh,
because of their quarterback relevance constantly. Even though they haven't been like Super Bowls, all this stuff, they're never bad.
Well, the interesting thing about the Packers is, and you got to go in the way back machine for this. When I was a younger kid in the 80s, they stunk. I mean, they were not good. And really from the time that, you know, they won the first couple of Super Bowls, then there was that gap. Kind of like the Chiefs, right? The early part, there was those couple of Super Bowls for the Chiefs. Gap. Yeah. And then 1989 came and Carl Peterson took over and the franchise was set up for success from there on forward, right? And the Packers are kind of that same way. They had those first couple of Super Bowls, irrelevant for a very long time. Lynn Dickey, former K-Stater, good dude, lives here in town. I know Lynn for a lot of years, quarterback up there in Green Bay. Then they had Don Majkowski, the magic man, was going to be the quarterback up in Green Bay.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
And then they made a trade for this guy named Brett Favre in like 91 or 2.
Worked out.
And since 92 or whenever it's been when he took over, here we sit. Favre, Rodgers, and Love are the transfers of power, if you will, in the NFL for the Green Bay Packers. And that's pretty darn impressive that they're able to do that. Let me ask you this. And look, I will say this. The Jordan Love stuff, still out there. You're still wondering, right? If he's still that guy. This is a big year
some
for Jordan
are.
Love.
I'm fully sold.
You are still.
He's the new nerd guy. It was Herbert for a long time. All the nerds loved and defended Herbert. I think it has now transitioned to Jordan.
To Jordan Love.
He's
okay.
The new nerd guy.
Okay. Yep. So guys like me who like the eye test, I got to wait and see a little bit more out of Jordan Love.
I guess so. I think he looks pretty awesome, but that's fair.
But either way, he's not Aaron Rodgers, and he's not Rodgers or Favre yet.
No, he's not.
He's not in that category. And so what's more impressive, the Pittsburgh Steelers with the limited coaches that they've had or the Packers with the limited quarterbacks that they've had?
Yeah, it's tough. Both are so tough.
I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers have had four coaches in my life. Chuck Knoll, Cowher, Tomlin,
and now McCarthy.
Yeah, four coaches in my lifetime.
No, it's insane.
It's 50 years.
It's nuts.
And the quarterbacks in Green Bay, they've had three in
40 years. Yeah, 30 years. I'd say it's harder to find a quarterback, but it's also more difficult to keep a coach for that long. So I'm going to have to go a wash.
I don't know what the right answer is. Honest to God, I don't know.
That's a wash.
That's why I asked it, because three quarterbacks since basically 1992.
Yeah.
Or four coaches since 1960 something.
That's absolutely insane. It's bonkers.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, with as many bad coaches as that there've been in the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers never found one.
They didn't. Yeah.
And you can say what you want about Mike McCarthy. He's won a damn Super Bowl.
No, he's not. He's not a bad coach.
No,
no, no, no. Even me, a McCarthy, you know, criticizer, that is not a bad coach.
No, not at all. And so the Pittsburgh Steelers seemingly always find a good coach to take over their organization. And the Green Bay Packers always find a good quarterback to take over their organization. I think at the end of the day, I think it's harder to find the good quarterback.
I think it's harder to find the good quarterback. I agree, but it's really difficult to keep a coach that long.
And find a good head coach,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and then just keep him for 15, 20 years each time.
Each time.
Four times, and they're like, what?
Well, Chuck Knoll set the precedent, and then Bill Cowher stayed for a while. Like, everybody after that, you got no choice. Mike McCarthy will be the shortest tenured coach, and that's not because he's going to fail. It's because, well, he's older
he's
now.
He's already older.
Yeah,
he's already older.
I mean, when Tomlin took the job, he was 30-some years old.
Yeah. He was the new young guy on the block, and that kind of became a trend.
Yeah, and Tomlin crushed it. All right, let's get to the bonehead of the week.
Bob's Boneheads.
You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. And it is a plural Boneheads of the Week. And I don't know if you've seen the video yet, Mac, that is circulating of the brawl in the bleachers last night at Wrigley State, at Wrigley Field.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
I mean, this is an all-out brouhaha that's happening in the bleachers at Wrigley. I mean, one dude is sitting there just getting punched in the face, trying to block it from this random guy. People are throwing beer. Jeez. People are throwing food. People are throwing cups. The ushers are down there. Dudes are trying to regulate this thing.
Oh, what?
It is White Sox-Cub game last night. Chicago on Chicago crime beating up each other in the bleachers last night.
What?
And that is like, at this point in time, how much have you had to drink that you're up here fighting an entire section in your tank top?
He kind of was whooping ass there.
He was, dude. He's beating the hell out of that guy that's just sitting there, though.
Yeah, no, exactly. You're not having anyone fight back. This is insane, man.
Right? This is a brawl.
No, you're an idiot. Yeah, and then he just leaves on his own volition. Oh, yeah, and then he runs into three officers who are like, yeah, no, we're actually going to be taking you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually going to be in charge of where you're headed next.
Right.
So, and you won't be back in this stadium, I hope, and I'd assume. That's insane.
Right? Isn't it crazy?
That was like multiple guys.
Yeah.
Just beating the crap out of you. They're kind of keying in on one fan, it seems, and then two other guys get going, and then they're going, and then tank top guy. Wow, that's bad. I can't believe I hadn't seen this. Yeah, the Crosstown Classic. That's rough.
And I will say this, speaking of boneheads, why are we scheduling the Crosstown Classic on a weekday?
Yeah, on a Monday?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? That's a weekend series.
Yeah, 100%.
Baseball failed on that one.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, they're treating it like it's a Friday night, though.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, I'd imagine alcohol's involved. You got to think, right?
I don't want to say I'd hope, because no matter what it is, it's absolutely insane and so dumb that this is happening. But at least there, you've got some liquid courage. I hope this isn't just a guy sober doing this. This is crazy.
I love to know how this started, because this guy in the blue jersey that's just sitting, like, the entire crowd is parted. It's like Moses with the Red Sea out there in the bleachers, right? The entire section is empty except for this one guy that's just sitting there getting the crap beat out of him. What did that guy do? Because it's not just the guy in the tank top that's beating him up.
No,
it's everybody else is beating this guy up too.
Yeah, certainly this guy did something. He was being a nuisance or whatever. I'm not mm-hmm. to deserve this. Obviously, this is uncalled for, and violence is not the answer. And we're at a baseball game.
Right.
But yeah, obviously, I mean, no one's like, it takes a while for anyone to really help out. You see one usher kind of walk by. And if I'm an usher, I'm sorry, I'm not getting in the middle of that.
I'm not getting in the middle of that.
I'm an usher. You don't pay me for this.
No, that's the other thing. You don't pay me enough money to sit here.
No, I'm not going to get punched in the face or risk it.
Deal with this.
No.
Yeah. I mean, all the other angles of this fight are coming out now, too. And they're all over the place. I mean, this guy is getting pummeled in the bleachers.
Yeah, I don't. Have you ever been witness to this?
Nothing like this.
No. Me either. I've had situations, you know, where I've been like, okay, I should keep my mouth shut. You know, right. You know, things like this, where, you know, you've got fans that are being not threatening, but obviously have had one too many and are really ticked off and their team's losing, or maybe you did some trash talk and all of a sudden you're like, okay, I should probably stop. I mean, the Falcons game that I went to, the Eric Berry game that I went to specifically, that game, I was a little like, okay, we should get out of here now. Like, it's time to leave. You know, that was definitely an environment that I was like, okay, the game's over. We won. Awesome win. Let's go, Eric Berry. 8 points to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Time to go.
Time to go.
Because this could get violent quickly. But that's just, that sucks. That sucks. I don't like seeing that. That's too bad.
I mean, it is awful. Awful. Yeah. This is one of the worst that I've seen in quite some time. And so as the videos come out, the stories start to come out about what happened there last night, that is going to be interesting. But that's your bonehead of the week, man. Don't go to a baseball game or other sporting events or anything. Life. Trying to fight. I mean, that's the thing, man. That's the booze talking. It has to be. Nobody acts like that sober.
No, and if you do, that's another problem, a whole other set of issues.
Smoke a joint and calm down, bro. Seriously.
Man, calm down. Yeah. What are we doing? That's ridiculous. Also, yeah, you're in Chicago. You can get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. Stop that.
I mean, what are we doing here? Over sports.
Yeah, over sports. That's just sad. Come on. We're trying to enjoy a nice night, and then we're doing this. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Also in NFL news, free agent edge rusher Za'Darius Smith has signed a one-year deal with the Falcons. Obviously, to fill that void.
I was going to say, they needed that.
James Pierce will be out for 8 weeks. Another guy that possibly could have helped the Chiefs, he's now going to go to the Falcons for a one-year, $6 million deal with incentives up to $8 million.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jimmy Fallon had Mike Tomlin on last night.
Oh, did he? Cool.
He's having him.
That's awesome.
Oh, I'm going to have to listen to this because they're showing highlights of Tomlin press conferences, and they're making Tomlin react to several Tomlinisms.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good bit.
Yeah. I like that a lot. That's really good. That is a lot of fun. Mike Tomlin's going to be a superstar in the media here before we know it. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, I think 11's good. Mac, I don't think does. Next.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Noah Williams, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan.
Tuesday here, 96.5 The Fan. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey with you. Dusty is off. He will be back tomorrow here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to talk about a team that you may think stinks right now, but maybe won't. And maybe a team that's supposed to be good that's going to stink. We'll get more into that coming up a little bit later on here on 96.5 The Fan. Yesterday, I kind of want to bring this in a little bit of a different order to kind of set up my day yesterday, Mac, if you don't mind, if I can do that, because it will lead into number 11 here for a second. I was watching ESPN at the J yesterday. They had by Kevin Clark on from X. You know, you've seen Kevin Clark. He was on our show, I think, at the Super Bowl.
I think we did have him on. I couldn't quite remember. I got to talk to him quite a few times, though, there at the Super Bowl. He was really nice.
Yeah, really good dude, right? And so he's on ESPN yesterday. They got him and Dano, and they're doing the big board of the Rams schedule, right? And how he thinks the Rams are going to finish that year. And he's going through it, and he ended up having the Rams like 15-2, and Dano was like 13-4 for the Rams. And you know, 15, I'm going to tell you, since they've gone to the 17-game schedule, only two teams have won 15 games in a season. Chiefs and Lions in the same year. 2 years ago.
Yeah, same year. That's everyone was like, Chiefs, Lions, Super Bowl.
Yeah, right? And so 15 wins now is what people are aiming for the L.A. Rams. 15's a big number, and it's only been accomplished twice since we've had the 17-game schedule. Was this year 4 or 5 now of the 17-game schedule that we're in?
Yep.
I can't even remember anymore, right? It seems so long ago. But so I'm watching these guys at the J, and I'm listening, and they get up to where the Rams are going to play the Chiefs, right? And it's good TV, and I'm in. I'm like, is this where they're going to pick the Rams to stumble? You know, I'm getting kind of excited.
Yeah.
And Kevin Clark's like, man, this is a tough one. And I'm like, ooh, okay. All right, where are we going with this one? He goes, man, it's the Chiefs. It's Mahomes. They seem like they're back. He goes, but I've got to give a nod to the Rams based on overall roster construction.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, but took him a while to decide what he was going to do. And I said, based on that, I'm good. I don't have a problem with that. He picked the Rams to win the game in a close one or whatever it was, right? Doesn't matter. Picked the Rams to win the game. But it was all about that roster construction. And so I'm sitting there at the J and I'm listening to all that. And I'm always thinking of ways to kind of bring this thing full circle and bring this home. And so I texted you yesterday. I said, do you think if these rookies pan out, the roster conversation about the Chiefs maybe mid-October will be completely different than what it is right now? Because I do. Because what we're watching right now quietly are rookies that could potentially dominate. We're talking about a fifth-round wide receiver, a fifth-round running back, a second-round defensive end. You know, we're talking about a lot of guys out there from this draft class that weren't the top picks that could have a major impact on this team. And I think once these guys do have that major impact and people see what they bring to the table, people will be talking a lot differently about this roster construction and this roster for the Chiefs moving forward than they are right now. I think that's what's holding them back, is that everybody just doesn't know how good these rookies can potentially be until we see them out there on the field.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, we don't know either, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen flashes. We like what we see. There's a lot of reasons to be hopeful and to be positive here. But it also isn't just about the rookies. Like, are these guys going to be put in the situations to succeed? Are they going to play enough? Are the coaches going to give them the plays, and whether it's Cyrus Allen giving him the routes where he's actually going to be able to get open and have a good scheme to run? Is R. Mason Thomas going to be in on the passing downs where he can really pin his ears back and go get the quarterback? So it's about multiple things. Yeah. There's lots of factors with that. I'm way more hopeful than I was a month ago, a week ago, about this team and about the young guys. So I do think the roster construction, perception, the conversation absolutely could change. There is no question about that in my mind. But to what extent, I don't know. Are all these guys going to be hits? More than likely not. But hey, that happened in 2022. Brett Veach has done that once before, where mm-hmm. literally like everyone in the class was great and hit and was here on this team for quite some time. I'll say at least good. That can happen again, and it looks like it's closer to that than it definitely was 2 years ago and in 2023.
Yeah, they've definitely made some strides with that. Like, you're feeling really good about this draft class. I don't know that we're really feeling great about draft classes the last couple of years. And so this brings us to ESPN doing their future power rankings for 27, 28, and 29. I think I'm going to sneeze in just 1 second. I'm not sure yet. So if all of a sudden you hear me sneeze.
Okay, perfect.
And they have the Chiefs ranked as the 11th best roster going into the next 3 years, 27, 28, and 29. And I looked at that and I went, with all the negativity that's been surrounding people's talk about this roster, projecting for the next 3 years to have the 11th best roster as of right now, I think that's pretty good, because I only think it's going to get better based on that conversation we just had about the entire roster. And if these rookies live up to what we think they're going to look up to or live up to, this roster is going to look completely different than what people have as their perception today, I think.
Yeah, and this was an article based on 27, 28, and 29.
Right.
So future roster, the next 3 years, not 26, and how does it look? And they rated it based on four different categories. The overall roster, excluding the quarterback, the quarterback, the coaching, and the front office. Those were their four rankings based on a 1 to 100 scale, basically giving you a grade, a mm-hmm. C, a B, and A. The quarterback, obviously, number one. They gave it a 97.
Yeah.
I don't even know how it's not 100, but fine. It's a 97, ranked number one. I love that. Overall roster, excluding the quarterback, is where it worries me, because mm-hmm. it was number 18.
Yeah.
They got a C, a 76.
Again, this is before we're seeing these young players, you know, see what they can do.
How much does that go up from 76, from 18 in the NFL, if those guys hit? Does it go up to 10? Does it go up to 15?
I think it goes up. That NFL overall. I think it goes
the overall roster excluding the quarterback,
yeah,
right?
I think
right now they're at 18.
I think it goes up exponentially, because we're talking about, let's just talk it out loud real fast. If Delaine, Peter Woods, Mason Thomas, Emmett Johnson, and Cyrus Allen all hit, that's a dramatic change of your roster.
Huge.
That is a dramatic change of your roster. It's a big change, and that's why I say exponentially changes. I don't know the formulas that all that or what they look at, and your eyes and my eyes obviously are completely different. So
what's a hit for R. Mason Thomas? Like, what are we categorizing that as?
Well, see, you and I are completely different. I'm going to go with the eye test. If I know on third down I can rely on that guy to get to the quarterback and affect the play and get a sack, get a quarterback hit, knowing maybe they got to keep a tight end in to block this guy, or maybe they know that they've got to get an assistance with a guard, and that gives Chris Jones a little bit of an opportunity to push up the middle or something like that. I think for me, R. Mason Thomas, and for a lot of these guys, it is going to be more about the eye test. Can I rely on that guy? Sometimes we make sports too hard, right? Well, this, that, that, no. Can I rely on this guy to go out there and make a play? That's how I think I'll know with R. Mason Thomas.
That's fair, and I think so far he does pass the eye test. Obviously, he's got the bend, he's got the speed, but I am going to be looking at stats. I mean, I am going to be looking at numbers. How often are you actually getting the quarterback, not just sacks, but pressure? And they're going to need that number to be up. I mean, the last two seasons, the Chiefs have been in the bottom five, bottom 10 of pressure numbers, of sack numbers. And that is, I mean, dude, it's one in the trenches. It's old school, right? Yeah. I mean, even eye test guys go know that. You've got to be good in the trenches. And that means getting to that quarterback, getting him on the ground. And
you've got to affect the quarterback.
Yeah, you have to. And R. Mason Thomas has to be the center of that. If you're talking about the next 3 years, he is that guy. So if you think about these next 3 years, 27, 28, and 29, which is what this article is based off of, there's no 87. 95, maybe he's part of 2027, but maybe, he's not in 28 and 29.
Right.
So getting to the quarterback now all of a sudden is up to Peter Woods, R. Mason Thomas, and George Karlaftis. One of those three, hopefully two of those three, but one of those three guys kind of has to become a stud, a star, a premier type player. And maybe they add someone, but they were just basing off of what they have right now.
But isn't that funny, though? You took 87 and 95 out of this equation going forward, and they're still 11th.
Overall, because of the quarterback.
Because of the quarterback, yes.
Yeah, because of the quarterback, and that's my concern. We know how good Mahomes is, but I don't want to watch his 30s having to carry this team on his back, which is, in my opinion, these last two seasons, a little bit what's done. Coaching?
But they went out and they rectified that. They got the running backs. They went out and they got the right coaches for the wide receivers. And, you know, there's only so many different players you can change over. But I think they made a concerted effort to take the pressure off of Patrick this year.
See, I like this text from the 816, a special player that makes plays and gets 8 to 12 sacks per season. That's great. That's a hit.
Yeah, we'll all know at the end of the year. We'll all know if Mason Thomas was a hit or not.
Coaching, they were ranked 12.
I don't understand this one.
They got an 85. They got a B. Is that because Andy Reid won't be here by 28 and 29?
I don't know. Maybe I didn't even think about that.
That's what they're going off of?
I don't know.
That's interesting. I wish they have a little blurbs for everything, right?
Yeah, but they don't say anything about coaching.
Nothing in the coaching. They mentioned reasons for concern, and Lewis Riddick was the one who wrote that portion of the reason for concern. He mentions the running back position being fixed, but then mentions the concern for the wide receiver position and talks about hoping Cyrus Allen can elevate into a primary target. He does give second-year receiver Jalen Royals a mention, which I think is funny. I mean, that just shows you where the national guys are at. Jalen Royals is irrelevant to this team.
Lou's very tied into this team, though, having worked with Andy and all those guys in Philadelphia.
Which is what made me surprised that he mentioned Jalen Royals, who, in my opinion, is kind of irrelevant to this team currently.
Maybe not to Andy, though. Maybe not to Brett. Maybe not to, you know.
We'll see. I don't think he's a part of the future of this team succeeding. Front office, another little bit of a head-scratcher. 78 was their score, 13th in the NFL. I don't understand that.
Well, I don't get that.
Is that just GM front office? Is that the whole, like, what is that?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I don't know that there's 12 front offices in the NFL that are better than the Kansas City Chiefs, and I sure as hell know there's not 11 better coaching staffs and coaches in the NFL than what the Chiefs have. I mean, we talk about the Kansas City Chiefs in such a category of, like, if you look at Steve Spagnuolo, people will say, well, he's a Hall of Fame coach, even though there's no Hall of Fame assistant coaches because the NFL doesn't do that. Pro football doesn't have the assistant coaches go in. But people still call that guy a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator and a Hall of Fame head coach and a special teams coach that's looked at as one of the best in the NFL. Got to get better this year, Tobe.
Much better.
Yeah, but, too. I mean, those are three legitimately good, really good to great coaches that this organization has. So the coaching one makes me question it a little bit, too.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the division, you've got the Broncos at number 4, the Chargers at number 10, both those teams coming in the top 10 and ahead of the Chiefs. The Broncos, I mean, it's the exact opposite of what the Chiefs is. You look at what the Broncos are, their overall roster, excluding quarterback, they're tied for second. Mm-hmm. They got a B+, 87.7% was their score. Quarterback, they got a B-, they were 17th. And then their top 10 in coaching and in front office. The being sixth in coaching, way ahead of Andy Reid. Now, again, you're talking about the future. Sean Payton may be there for these next three seasons.
Right.
And that comes into a factor. I get that. But, yeah, it is interesting to look at. They are the exact opposite right now of what the Chiefs are. It's the quarterback kind of carrying the Chiefs' ranking, whereas the rest of the roster for the Broncos is carrying them.
Well, same thing with Seattle. Their roster rank is number 1. Their quarterback is 16. The Eagles. Quarterback is 14, roster 2.
Quarterback
Lions, quarterback 13, roster 6. Without the quarterback, you know?
Without the quarterback, roster 6, without the quarterback.
I mean, the Rams
exactly
quarterback is ranked 24th moving forward.
Yeah, because Stafford's here for this season.
That's right.
and then it's done.
Right.
And so how does that, you know, I know they've got the coaching, they've got the front office. You got the coaching, they've got the best. They gave him a 95, they gave McVay number one. Is McVay here in 2028, 2029?
See, everybody's like, oh, Andy's going to be. What if McVay wins a Super Bowl and he bounces?
Yeah, and he's gone. Exactly right. They give them a great front office, and we know what Les Snead does over there for the front office. So I understand that. Patriots at number six, Packers at number seven, and they're kind of even. You look at the Packers, you know, they're seven with the roster, excluding the quarterback, seven quarterback, just outside the top 10 in coaching, and then seventh front office. So they're pretty even as far as just being top 10, being in that seventh score. Texans 8, Ravens 9, and then again the Chargers 10, and again pretty even, 13th roster excluding quarterback, top 6 quarterback,
yep.
Top 10 coach, top 8 front office, solid ranking. So the Chiefs do need to hope that both the roster excluding the quarterback gets better, and to your point, the coaching, you mentioned all those new coaches, maybe that can improve their ranking from 12 in the coaching ranks,
yeah,
as well, because
right.
of those Chad O'Shea additions, because of the DeMarco Murray, because of bringing back Eric Bieniemy and that accountability, maybe that gets that coaching ranking up as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of room for improvement on there, but I thought going forward in the future, where we are right now, not really knowing about these rookies who we think five could be superstars, that roster is going to change big time moving forward. People are going to fear the Chiefs here before long.
I do think that it's already starting to happen a little bit from that first preseason game. People are like, damn, Emmett Johnson looks really good. Oh, wow, Cyrus Allen actually does look like a target. And all of a sudden, you're like, okay, if they give Mahomes a reliable target along with Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy can blaze past people, and we saw what Tyquan Thornton to do, and Kelsey's still there. All of a sudden, you start to kind of add it all together for the season, and people are going, okay, dang, they actually might be back. They might be back. And we've seen the last two offensive line rankings that I've seen, I think we've talked about one of them, have the Chiefs as top 10 offensive lines. That narrative's beginning to shift as well.
Yep, it really is. So a lot of good in the future for the Chiefs. They're hitting on all cylinders at this point in time. Eventually in the NFL, you got to win in the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to take care of business in the postseason, and especially if you are a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And Dan Orlovsky, I mean, he's the lightning rod right now, right? And look,
yeah.
A lot of times we don't like and agree with what Dan Orlovsky has to say.
No.
I will give Dan Orlovsky credit. He sticks his neck out there, and he comes up with opinions, and he backs them up. They may not always be great, like, you know, Fernando Mendoza never played in a big game type of stuff, but I give the guy a lot of credit. Every once in a while, we're all going to step in it. And Dan Orlovsky said something the other day about Justin Herbert. They're on whatever NFL show he's on ESPN these days. And he says, everyone who hates on Justin Herbert, there's some validity to that he has not played his best football in the playoffs, but he still got them there. And I quote tweeted that. I go, some validity? He hasn't played great, Mac, in the postseason. And I think with quarterbacks, there are different stages of these guys and their careers in the NFL, right? You get drafted, you come in, you're a rookie. You're basically given a free pass that first year. Go out there, do what you want. Let's see what you can do. Play, do your thing. Then it's like, okay, let's take that next step. Let's start to win in the regular season. And obviously Patrick was a lot different than most of these rookie quarterbacks. He hit the ground running and never looked back.
Mm-hmm.
Most rookie quarterbacks do not do that, right? That when we talk about the greats of all time, Montana, you know, Brady, Mahomes,
yep.
You know, Manning, all of them had a little bit of a rocky start, but once they got going, they never looked back, right? Joe Montana had to play for his job all the time. Tom Brady was a bench player. Peyton Manning was 2-14 his first year, and Mahomes didn't see the field. So they all had those little bit, you know, of a rough start, but boom, once they took off and hit the ground running, again, they never look back. They never relinquished what they were able to go out there and accomplish. We judge every quarterback in the NFL and those five guys constantly right now. And so over the stages of your career, you're drafted, you have that rookie year. Then once you get to that second year, if you've shown signs, they went out, maybe got you some weapons, then you're starting to win in the regular season. You're starting to get close to the playoffs. Then you get into the playoffs. And then eventually you get to that stage of your career where I don't really care about all this other stuff that you did. It's time for you to win playoff games. And I think, for my money, that's where Justin Herbert is right now. It is time for Justin Herbert to take that next step and to take that leap to go and win in the postseason. And that seemingly has become what we judge quarterbacks off of. That's how quarterbacks get paid. Teams win championships. Everybody celebrates them. Eventually, you have to do it in the postseason if you want to be considered a very good to great quarterback in this league, you have got to find a way to get it done when it matters the most. And until Justin Herbert does that, I'm still going to kind of put him on that fringe on the outside looking in to where we are. Because this is the year now, I would think. They've done everything for that guy. It's time for him to take it up to the next level and win in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think the conversation is twofold. There's no doubt there comes a point where if you are going to be that elite, that great, that franchise quarterback, yeah, the playoff success does have to come at some point. But I don't think it's everything. I think Herbert is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's a top eight quarterback, in my opinion. And I think getting to the playoffs is depending on your situation, because we talk about it all the time, how much of situation matters for a quarterback and their success. Like, at least 50%.
A lot. I would say it's probably more than...
Yes.
It's 80% at least, I think, because you see guys with talent all the time in this league that come in and they just never realize their talent. Now, some of it is on them, obviously, but let's look at some of these quarterbacks, Mac, that have failed in the NFL and look at who their coaches were and what their situation was, right?
Exactly right. No, you can look at these coaches. That's why I still leave out hope for a guy like Anthony Richardson in the situation that he was in, or a guy, I mean, some people, I've got friends who are saying Shedeur Sanders, if he was in a different situation, would be better. I don't necessarily agree with that one, right?
Yeah, that's one I'm like,
I'm out on, man.
Right? But you were dancing and you were a fifth round draft pick, man.
Yeah, and you got the whole watch celebrating. Yeah. Like, I'm done with the it's time whole thing. I'm done with that. But he's won 11 games each of these last two seasons, Justin Herbert. That should mean something. Regular season success, even given the situation. He had, I think it was 14 or 15 different people play on the offensive line last season. One of the worst offensive lines in the league. Definitely the worst offensive line situation as far as injuries were concerned. And he was able to get that team to the playoffs and compete in a really, really tough division. If we talk about his play as an individual, like he has been fantastic. Now, does he need to get back to what 2021, 2022, 2023 statistically were in some aspects? Sure, but he protects the ball. He whips the ball around the yard. And if you talk about his situation, I mean, he hasn't had the best situation his whole career. Now it is year three with Harbaugh. They have done well.
Is it only year three?
This is year three in the Harbaugh era. The offensive line right now is healthy. They have a good offensive line when healthy, maybe the best two tackles in the league, both of which were hurt last year. This is a year that it does need to happen. We'll do Futures Week in a couple of weeks, and I'll be talking about him a lot for one of the awards. That just a tease there, because he will be my pick for one of the awards. But I will say,
Defensive Player of the Year for Justin Herbert.
It's on the way. I will say, him winning that one game against the Raiders to make the playoffs in 2023 to go. Then
was that the one where they like a tie would have put both of them in, and the coaches effed it up at the end?
Yes, like he won that game. That was a win and in. Like that's a playoff game to some extent. Like that was a win and in game. That was a playoff atmosphere. And I will say, you're right. He has not played well in the playoffs. I do think last year was pretty solid for the situation that he had. They only put up 3 points against New England. But again, he got sacked 6 times, and he completed. He was 19 for 31 for 160 passing yards. Like, Ladd McConkey took a massive step down. Quentin Johnston so far has been a drop machine
Good last year, though.
He had a really, yes.
I mean, what a bounce back for that guy.
He had
a
bounce back season. No, he had a big
because
bounce back season.
He was the guy that everybody was making fun of all year long. And that I give that kid a lot of credit, man. I was talking to somebody yesterday about athletes and social media and how immediately they go to their locker after a game and they read what people are saying, especially after a bad loss, right? These guys are all in their locker room looking at their phones. And for Quentin Johnston as a rookie to see what everybody was saying.
First round pick.
I mean, I want to give him a standing ovation because he could have let that get to him and he could have been derailed mentally because of the way that he was being treated and harassed on social media. So the fact that he came back last year and had a big year, man, kudos to that kid. I'm listening to you and you're making a great case for Justin Herbert, because as I'm listening to you, I go, if the names were flipped and it was Patrick Mahomes and he had all these issues, I'd be saying about Patrick Mahomes didn't have the offensive line. And you're right. The fact that that offensive line has been as bad as it's been from a health standpoint, and he never really missed a beat.
No.
I mean,
plays through injury, plays with the broken hand.
And I was thinking that to myself last year. I'm like, oh, eventually this is going to go south. And it never did.
They kept it up. And I will say, if we judge, playoffs are a big part of it, but if we judge a quarterback based solely on playoffs, I mean, you're going to have Jalen Hurts above Justin Herbert. And in my eyes, the way I judge it, that's ridiculous to me. Mm-hmm. To me. Even though he's been to two Super Bowls, even though he's won those playoff games, put Herbert on the Eagles, I think it would be even better.
I always go back to what Danen has to say, the win with or win because of, you know, and I don't know right now if Justin Herbert is a win because eventually you have to be that guy that shows me you're the win because of.
I agree.
When those moments have mattered most, it's like the Derek Jeter thing. Not the best shortstop of his era, but damn, you won because of Derek Jeter, you know?
Yeah.
And say what you want about Jalen Hurts and those two Super Bowls. Holy crap, was he good.
He was great in the two Super Bowls. Leading up to it, he was at best a game manager, and he was able to be a game manager because of that fantastic situation.
And then on the
biggest
stages, he starred. Yes. I mean, that's what you want. You want your stars to shine on the biggest stages. And so I just haven't seen that out of Herbert. And how many years do we give somebody to Mac? I don't know the answer to that question.
I think it depends on a lot of context. I will say I agree with you. This is a big year for Herbert. He needs to show up. He needs to show out, and he needs to...
This is his third head coach, too.
This is his third head coach, and this is the third year with his best head coach that he's had by a long shot, and the best offensive coordinator he's had by a long shot. Mm-hmm. It's time. I'm not going to say you have to win a playoff game, but you need to make the playoffs and at least play fantastic.
Yeah, play great in the playoffs, and if you lose, don't make it because you didn't get the job done.
Right.
Don't be like Josh Allen and throwing it 40 yards behind you.
Exactly.
You know, and expecting everybody to say, oh, no, that wasn't Josh's fault. The ball was wet. We got some home runs last night. We got some money going, huh?
Hey, yes. And of course, this year we've partnered with KCUC, who's donating $50 to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for every home run the boys in blue hit this season. 1 in 8 men will face prostate cancer. Early detection saves lives. At KCUC, Kansas City's largest, most experienced, and most advanced urology team, you see the best in KC. Scheduled today at kcuc.com. And this season, 126 home runs, $6,300. And Bobby Witt blasted 1 yard last night. Him and Cags were fantastic hitting back-to-back. That is a deadly duo. If they can surround that duo, man, if they can surround that duo with competency.
Mm-hmm. Whew. Yeah, it's a good duo.
It may be the best duo in KC sports.
It may be right now. We'll have to see.
Yes.
I'm not ready to go there quite yet.
No, that's fair.
I'm close. Coming up here, F it, it's Denver. We'll tell you who and why next.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Peter Woods, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Tuesday here, 96.5 The Fan. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey with you. Dusty's off. He will be back tomorrow. I said going to the break, F it, it's Denver. Because this was a hard question for me. And I didn't want to pick an obvious answer. So I said, you know what? I'm going to challenge myself on this one. Get out of my comfort zone a little bit. And I'm taking the Denver Broncos. I don't care what you say. What's the topic again?
The topic is, who's the team that's going to suck that no one's just talking about? Because we always have a team that's great that's like, whoa, he came out of nowhere. And we have one or two or three teams that end up falling hard that we were like, damn, we had expectations for that. Also, quick correction, because, hey, we don't get everything right. I was wrong on this, talking about Herbert defending him, saying he did win a playoff game with a win and end game for the Raiders.
No, he did not.
He did not win that game.
They tied that game, I thought.
They lost in overtime.
Is that what it was?
I think it was the Raiders who messed it up. They were trying to go for the tie, and then the Raiders were like, whatever, we're going to go and win and got in the playoffs. And I think that was the year that the Raiders and Derek Carr had a chance against the Bengals.
That's what it was.
They were in the red zone.
That's right. It was the Raiders. And Derek Carr didn't play good in that game, if I don't.
Against the Bengals? I can't remember.
A couple turnovers, maybe?
Maybe. I know at the end, they were in the red zone, and he threw a good pass, and I think there was a penalty that should have been called that wasn't, and that whole Bengals run is completely fraudulent in my eyes, and the last 5 years have shown us that, in my opinion.
Did you say earlier they haven't been in the playoffs in 5 years?
I think it's been five seasons. I'll have to look it up.
That the Bengals have not been in the playoffs?
Yes.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, Herbert's, yeah.
That it just, when you say that, it's like one of those things that probably is true. I'm not doubting you.
No,
I'm just doubting my own mind going, it's been 5 years since they haven't been in the playoffs since Burrowhead happened?
Burrowhead, 2022.
That's the last time they were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I want to go back a little bit because they haven't been to the playoffs since 2022. And people are taking for granted what the Chiefs has done for a decade of getting back to the playoffs every single year.
Getting back to the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. And getting back to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl and going 17-4 in the playoffs and playing more than an entire extra season of games. So when I say, yeah, they were tired last year.
Yeah.
They were tired. I mean, the Bengals have had a 5-year Super Bowl hangover. I can't believe that.
Yeah,
man.
Playoff hangover, because the last was the AFC Championship loss, where I mean the Chiefs exercised their demons, and again since then, haven't seen them once.
That's insane.
But yeah, who is the team that's going to suck that no one's talking about? And you say Denver?
I just said F it, Denver.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is, again, this is my perception, and I'm totally wrong. They just seem like a bunch of arrogant douchebags out there right now. And I just want to punch them all in the face.
Yes. Well, who's the guy leading them? Well, an arrogant douchebag.
Yeah. Guy who had bounties out to kill people, for God's sakes.
Yes. No, I like this. I really hope this is true. I don't think it will be. This roster's too good. They'd have to have way too many things go wrong for it to in order to be right. But I don't think it is. I don't think this is a 12-win Denver team. I don't think this is a team that's going to win the division. I think they're going to be third in the division. I think they might still make the playoffs because this might be a 3-playoff team type division.
Yeah.
This may be the best division in all of football this season. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm going under on the 10.5. I think they win 10 games this year, and I think they struggle, and I think they have huge Bo Nix conversations at the end of the season.
Oh, okay. I like that. Yeah, I look at, again, the Denver Broncos are the Beverly Hillbillies. They struck oil, and they think they're oil barons now. And they're going to do their thing, and they're walking around like they've conquered the world. You won a division when Patrick Mahomes got hurt, and they were coming off their third straight Super Bowl. You took advantage of a situation. And by God, God love you. You capitalized. You were opportunistic, right? And I think that is important for teams to be opportunistic. Look, the Royals did it in 24 when the White Sox weren't any good, right? They were opportunistic, and they capitalized. That's what Denver did last year. I don't know that opportunistic teams have that staying power. But again, they do have a good roster. But they to me, are putting off the vibe that they've already packed for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. No, they're like, oh, well, we should have made it last year if our quarterback hurt, so we'll just run it back and we'll do that again.
And that's why it's so important to knock down the door when you get that close, because you don't know if you'll ever be there again, Mac.
No.
They don't know if they'll ever be in that situation again where they're playing a home game to go to the Super Bowl with weather moving in and the coach has no idea what the forecast is.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, they did beat Josh Allen, but they didn't have to go through Lamar Jackson. They didn't have to go through Patrick Mahomes. So both those guys, one of those two guys, at least, if not both those guys, will be back in the dance this year.
Yeah.
And so they're going to be a part of the equation as well. And you won the division, so you had a home game. Are you going to be able to do that again this year? It's going to be tougher. It's going to be more difficult for Denver. So I hope that it's correct. I do think they'll still be good. But yeah, I don't think they're going to be as good as people are saying. I think the Falcons are about to be ass.
Okay.
Ass city. They're over under at 7.5. It's already gone down from 8.5. So people are starting to understand, but I'm still smashing that under. I don't think this team's even mediocre. I don't know what's good about this team other than the skill positions. Yes, I love Drake London. Yes, I love Bijan Robinson. Kyle Pitts is good. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I don't know what we're talking about.
Well, they don't have a quarterback.
The offensive line isn't that good. They don't have a quarterback. Their defense.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
This isn't that good.
You don't need to talk anymore.
Yeah, it's just like,
you know, they don't have a quarterback and the offensive line is bad. Okay.
See you later. Yep, it's done. It's
other
over.
Other than the death, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln, you know?
Yeah, I think it's write them off. They're done. I'll actually put them last in the NFC South.
That's fair. And I don't have a problem with you doing that. I look at Denver and I just think, man, you guys acted like you've already arrived. A lot of times the team that comes onto the scene and gets that close and fails does not have a good follow-up. And when you look at the Denver Broncos, you have to think, do they have that staying power? Roster-wise, yes. Mindset, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they're smelling themselves, man. And when you start smelling yourselves, you find out how you stink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, oh, you're great. Okay, go do it again. Now,
BBL stinky.
Now there's a couple of things working against Denver. Number one, everybody's gunning for him.
Yeah.
Right? They're a circle game now on the 100% schedule for everybody. Number two, one score wins last year. They will even themselves out.
Yeah, people aren't talking enough about that. I know you have been,
yeah,
but other people are not discussing that. That was such a big topic with the Chiefs when they did it 2 years ago, and it did end up coming to fruition. It hasn't been a topic with the Broncos, and it should be, especially because they don't have the most clutch quarterback of all time.
And we just witnessed it with the Chiefs. The one score games evened out for the Chiefs, and instead of going 15-2, they were 6-11.
Yes.
And so Denver is going to have those things kind of come back to the pack. Coming up here on 96.5, The Fan, start, bench, cut. Next.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.